Good morning. Please join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. We want to extend a very special welcome to all of you that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you feel welcome here at Main Street and that you will come back to visit us often. I want each of you to look around this morning, and if there's someone that you don't know, please make a point of speaking to them before you leave here this morning. Now, you cannot use as an excuse this morning that, I'm afraid to speak to them because maybe they're already a member here and I don't want to embarrass them. And if you are a member that's been a member for 20 years and somebody comes up to you and says, good morning, welcome, don't be offended. It just means that neither one of you have taken the opportunity to get to know that other person. So please take that opportunity this morning and let's get to know each other better this morning. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street. And as we pass the attendance pads, if you'll give us your address and phone number, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So if you would now please pass those attendance pads, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. Please note that our Wednesday night gathering series continue this Wednesday night. You can make reservations by contacting the church office or by filling out one of the reservation cards in the pew racks. Again, you'll have two program opportunities this Wednesday night. Two book studies are continuing, one being Jesus Drives Me Crazy, and the other one, Practicing the Faith. So again, those book studies are continuing this Wednesday night. Program beginning at 6 o'clock. Also, please remember our annual Fall Bazaar, which is on Saturday, November the 1st, from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. If you are a group interested in having a table at that bazaar, you can contact the church office and make arrangements for that. Also, beginning November the 2nd and going through December the 21st, there will be a six-week Bible study, which is going to be patterned after the Disciple Bible Study, Walking with Jesus, Hearts for God. It's a six-week program using, as I say, the similar format as Disciple Bible Study. It will be from 6 o'clock until 8:30 on Sunday evenings, November 2nd through December the 21st, with no meeting on November the 30th. So if you are interested there, please contact Lee Roberts in the church office. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Please stand and join me with the call to worship. Come away from the valleys of misplaced loyalty. Come seeking to meet the God of all worlds. We come together that our faith might be strengthened. We seek the strength to live by all we profess. God continues to deliver us in times of distress. God's steadfast love endures forever.
Seated, and I'll invite you to join me in the invocation as found in your bulletin. Gracious God, you have invited and welcomed us to this place of worship. You draw us away from the idols we create to take your place. When we come together, we sense that there is nothing in life that can substitute for a vital relationship with you. Yet we are only dimly aware of who you are. All the mysteries of the universe are in your hands, yet you have made yourself known among the people of the earth. We catch glimpses of your work among us and are amazed. We want to meet you again today, as for the first time. Touch us, remake us, help us to stand firm in the faith. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 1 through 14. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it into a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord." They rose early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being. And the people sat down to drink and eat and rose up to revel. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone so that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them. And of you I will make a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord, his God, and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I invite you now to join in the reading and the singing of the Psalter. We will be using selected verses from Psalm 106. You can find this on page 829 in your hymnal, and note that it continues on page 830. We will begin with the sung response, and Joyce will play that response for us now. Can utter the mighty doings of the Lord. O show forth all God's praise.
Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times.
Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you deliver them.
That I may see the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory in your heritage.
Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise.
Both we and our forebears have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly.
Our forebears, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wonderful works.
They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled against the Most High at the Red Sea.
God saved them for the sake of his holy name, to make known the mighty power of God.
God rebuked the Red Sea, and it became dry, and led them through the deep as through a desert. and the waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left.
Then they believed God's words. They sang God's praise.
Lord, of all to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise.
They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped a molten image.
They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass.
They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt.
Wondrous works in the land of Ham, and the terrible things by the Red Sea.
Therefore, the Lord intended to destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach to turn away God's wrath from destroying them.
Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting.
And all people say, Amen. Praise the Lord.
Lord, of all to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise.
The epistle reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Come and sing a glad hallelujah. Rejoice forevermore.
That's okay. If you're moved to applaud, I think that's okay. That's okay. Even at Main Street, if you feel like showing a sign of life, you may do so. As we pray, and I notice we have a few visitors today, and I'll sort of explain this again, as I read our concerns of the week, you may come forward and kneel at the altar rail so that during the silent time of prayer where we lift up our private prayers to God, you will be here during the entire prayer, but especially during the silent time of prayer. If it is more meaningful for you, you may come forward now. I would like to lift up Brenda Ellison, a member who's been in the hospital this past week, Darwin Schlesing. Bill Britt was in the hospital this past week, but is home and doing well. Joy Pinckney had surgery this past week, but has gone home and is recovering. And let us be in prayer for Amy Gregory, one of our newer members, who will have a procedure this coming week. Let us be in prayer for her. Now, let us pray together. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, fill us. Fill us with those things that are good, things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honorable. Help us to put into practice what we have learned from your word. Lord, hear our prayers. Loving God, you have invited us to rejoice in your promised kingdom, which is come and coming. May we never be so busy taking care of the things of daily life that we cannot turn to you and thankfully celebrate the good news of your Son, the great promise and hope he gives us. Tender and merciful God, we pray for those with power and influence, that they may be grateful for the opportunities their positions give them and show their gratitude by fulfilling their responsibilities conscientiously and with wisdom, justice, and compassion. And we pray for those with money and possessions that they be grateful for the security their money gives them and show their gratitude to you by using what they have to enrich the lives of those who have not. We pray for those who know your saving love, that they may be grateful for the joy and peace that faith and trust in you gives them, and show their gratitude by sharing their faith and living out that love with others. And Lord, we pray for ourselves, each with special gifts from you and wisdom we have gained from pain, that we may be grateful for the unique calling we've received and show our gratitude by using our talents in the service of others and so bring glory to you. We hold before you those of our community and our world who have been put upon our heart this day. We lift up our silent prayers before you and our private time of prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now we will continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Thank you. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting us with enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children to come to the front for the children's message.
Good morning. Some of you have some collection. Was I supposed to get a plate for that? I'll just take it by hand. Okay. You want me to take that from? Okay. All right. I promise I'll give it to the proper folks. Anybody else? I'll put it right here. All right. Good morning. Can y'all scoot in? Because I've got some props. You know, I brought some props. I always bring props. Move in. Move in. Come on. Everybody move in. You might have to read something. I love to get an invitation to a party. Do you guys like to get party invitations? Sorta? It depends on who is inviting you. Good answer. Covering all your bases. Very good. Well, you know what? The reason I like to get an invitation is because it lets me know that somebody is thinking of me and they want to include me in their special plans. That makes me feel really good. Sometimes when you get an invitation, I don't know if you've ever seen this. I know like your mom and dad, when they get an invitation, sometimes it'll have four letters. RSVP. Some of you are nodding your heads. You've seen that. Does anybody know what those four letters stand for? I'll give you a hint. It's another language. French. Okay, anybody know? Okay, I brought that. I'm going to show it to you. RSVP means Respondez, s'il vous plaît. And that just is French for respond if you please. What is that? What do you think that means? What are you trying to let someone know? Yes. That's exactly right. It lets them know if you're planning to attend their function or not. Well, in the Bible, there is a story about a king who is having a big wedding and a big wedding feast for his only, I think it's his only son, I'm not sure about that part, but for his beloved son. And the day of the wedding came, and everything was ready. He had pizza, and he had Chick-fil-A, and he had Taco Bell, and he had cake, he had ice cream, he had all kinds of great stuff, and you'll never believe what happened. Nobody came. Nobody. Everybody he had invited had excuses, like, sorry, I can't come, have to mow the grass. Or, I'm sorry, I can't come, I have a cold. Or, I'm sorry, I can't come, I have to wash my hair. Those are called what? Excuses. Good. How do you think that made him feel? How do you think it made him feel? It made him feel sad. Anybody else have a thought? What do you think it made him feel? He didn't like it because nobody came. Do you think it might have made him mad? Just a little bit? You know, he had bought all that Chick-fil-A and stuff, and he had all that stuff, all that food that he had planned for. Well, it did probably make him feel really sad and hurt too. So you know what he did? He sent all of his servants out into the town, and he instructed them, he said, I want you to invite everybody you see in the town to come to my beloved son's wedding feast. And guess what? What do you think happened? They did. They came. And you know what? They had a great time. They had a really good time. Now, there's sort of a connection here for us, because God has invited all of us to accept his invitation too. so that we can celebrate His Son Jesus together. I love your dress, by the way. That is very pretty. In fact, you know what? It is our job to go out and invite everybody we see to come and be a part of God's family. So I've brought something else I want you to look at. The next time you see an invitation that has RSVP, I want you to think of it in another different way, okay? We're going to sort of put a twist on it. I want you to repeat after me, okay? Ready? R is going to mean reach out to others. Ready? R, reach out to others. S is going to become so that. Ready? S, so that. And I had to sort of tweak the V a little bit. V is going to mean every. Ready? V means every. And P is going to stand for person knows God. Ready? P means person knows God. So let's put all that together. Reach out to others so that every person knows God. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Let's have a prayer. Can you repeat after me? Dear God, help us to accept your invitation and to reach out to others so that every person knows about your gift. Amen.
Before we pass the peace, I want to just say a word about that. The beginning of peace is to understand that God loves you and God forgives you. And so as forgiven people, we have a sense of peace, and that's the beginning of faith and the beginning of peace. But the end of peace is when we pass on that forgiveness and that love to others, when we are actually forgiving and loving to others. It must not stop at the first stage, but go to the second stage. And so passing the peace is to understand we are forgiven, and God calls us and enables us to be forgiving. In that sense, and with that in mind, let us pass the peace.
Let us affirm our faith through this ancient proclamation, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Gospel reading is from Matthew, the 22nd chapter, the first 14 verses, found on page 29 of your pew Bibles. Hear now God's word. Once more Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guest, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.' The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Please be seated. This is a difficult word. I've been advised by more than one sage and wise retired preacher that I should have stopped at verse 10. But we're not going to do that. We're going to try to preach the word as we find it. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, thinking about weddings and marriages, many of us get married in borrowed clothes or rented clothes. You know, somebody else's clothes is the point. And that's one of the reasons, well, that is the reason that Caroline and my marriage is suspect to this day. Maybe not the only reason, but the truth is that I turned in our marriage license with my rented tux. Absolutely true. I have never seen it since. Someone after this morning's service said that was Caroline's get-out-of-jail-free card, but it's not. We're married. The courthouse has a copy. We don't have a copy. My point is that some occasions are so important that you need to borrow clothes to attend. And we'll come back to that later. And my second point is, just from a personal advantage, is to check your pockets when you turn in rented clothes, or you'll never hear the end of it. Well, after struggling with this text for 2 weeks, I am convinced that there aren't any real practical lessons in this gospel reading. There are no, you know, general nuggets of wisdom like the Proverbs to help you be a better church. It's something else. This is something else entirely. It's something deeper. Last week's message about the vineyard was aimed at the leaders of Israel rejecting Jesus. And so they lost their authority to others who perceived that God was doing a new thing in His Son, Jesus Christ. And now the leaders of Israel, not all of Israel, the first church was made up of sons and daughters of Israel, but the leaders of Israel missed that God was doing a new thing. But they still wanted to keep the power and the prestige of leadership, even though they were completely blind to the very Son of God in their midst. So this wedding story continues an almost rant at those leaders. Here, they are pictured as the ones who were first invited on the first round of invitations to the royal wedding. It was a command performance, but they refused to come. God, though, who was determined to have a party, invites anyone and everyone to come. But there's a catch, and it is a disquieting and disturbing catch. The disturbing part, one man called in the character of the story, called friend by the king, was bound and tossed out, way out into outer darkness, because even though he was invited, he failed to wear the proper clothing. And it ends with many are called, but few are chosen. What does this mean? What could this be about? How could God, who most of us presume to be the king or represented by the king in the story, toss anyone out into outer darkness, especially an invited guest? All were invited. And where is the son in this story? Well, the king's explanation to his startled guest when he had that one thrown out might read like this: everyone is welcome here. It makes no difference to me where you live, what you do, or what you have done. Everyone is welcomed here to honor my son, but let it be clear. Although all are welcome, all guests come the same way into my house. I provided one way to ensure that all could come in. To those who would come into my house on their own terms, those who would compromise my invitation and decide that they saunter in wearing dirty old clothes and patches that they happen to be wearing, that will not do. I have provided a garment for you, a garment of grace. Without it, you cannot stay. These are hard words, but they seem to be the words of this story. We sometimes use, especially in one of the communion liturgies, the word propitiation. And in some translations of Scripture that comes out, that Jesus is our propitiation for sins. And we hear that word and we think about it and they say, what an odd word. And we think, after lunch, I'm going to look that up in the dictionary, and then we don't. But it means that the death of Jesus fully satisfied all the righteous demands of God toward the sinner. Because God is holy and righteous, sin cannot just be overlooked. But through union with Christ by trust and faith, the believer can be accepted by God, because Christ is our propitiation. Our guilt is covered, completely covered. And the Old Testament word kafar also has that sense, the meaning of to cover. It was a word that spoke about a ritual covering for sin. You can look that up in Leviticus 4 if you'd like when you get home. A covering. So the son just may have more to do with borrowed clothing than you think. Way back in 2 Kings, we find the tradition where King Jehu provided robes for all who had come to worship the god Baal. And in the same way, we provide robes for our choir members, our acolytes, and our crucifers. And it would, at the 11 o'clock formal traditional service, it would be odd if someone just showed up not wearing a robe. Now, we didn't do that this morning. We thought about it, and we were going to bind them hand and foot and cast them into outer darkness, but we didn't do that. Another robe story by Jesus that you may not first think of as a robe story, it ties in here. The prodigal son story. You know, the prodigal son who wasted his life and his inheritance on wild living in a far country until finally he came to himself and he realized that life way out there in the wilderness away from God was just empty. And the prodigal came to himself, his true self, and he remembered in his heart that he had a loving father waiting back home. And when he saw that need and he thought of his father's goodness, he literally repented. And repent doesn't mean I'm sorry. It means to turn around, to make a U-turn. He repented. He turned away from the wilderness, wandering, and he sought, instead of not just pleasing himself, he sought his father's love to be reunited with his father. And when he came, his father re-ringed him, which meant he was a son again. He reclaimed him. He washed him. He put sandals on him. And he re-robed him. He threw him a party, a celebration. He gave the son all he needed to be ready and right for the party. And he went in and there was this tremendous celebration going on because the father said, my son who was once dead is now alive again. There's new life. And you also remember, again, the religious leaders were portrayed in that story as staying out on the porch and refusing to join in the party. Folks, the kingdom of God is a party. It's supposed to be. I mean, a visitor here on most days might think that we're somber and grim-faced and religion is just some sort of thing you endure. But it is a party. And if you're not here to thank God for the really good news of God's love and forgiveness and eternal hope and be open to grow in a new self, a happy and peaceful self in love with God and in love with others, if you're not here for that, you may be in the wrong place, because that is what we're here for. New life, new love, a life covered, guilt wiped out, and given the ability by God's Spirit to love and forgive others, and so be at peace. Listen to this ancient and beautiful text from Isaiah. It's a text that I've not really focused on in 25 plus years of preaching. Isaiah 61 verse 10. It uses very strongly the imagery of clothing and robe. Listen. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. You see, God provided what we need to return to relationship with God. It's an old, old idea. But once God makes the way for us to return, God expects us to live lives of celebration and trust and care for others as evidence of that right relationship which He made possible. Over and over, the Apostle Paul speaks of conversion and faith as putting on new life in clothing terms. He even speaks of putting on Christ. At one point, he says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ in me. And in Philippians 3:9, Paul says, I don't have any righteousness of my own. My righteousness comes through my faith in Jesus Christ. It's His righteousness which covers me. By faith, Jesus' righteousness covers us as a robe. And you have sung this idea 1,000 times in the hymn, My Hope is Built. And if I had thought of this a week or so ago, I could have asked Larry that we sing My Hope is Built. But verse 4 just came to me last night. We've sung this so many times. When He shall come with trumpet sound, O may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. And so with St. Augustine, a great church leader of the 4th century, I agree that he's explaining that each person who accepted the king's invitation was given proper attire for the banquet. I sort of envision that scene in The Wizard of Oz. If you remember The Wizard of Oz, that part where they say scrub, scrub here and a scrub, scrub there, and they're all getting ready to go see the wizard. The king provided the opportunity and the robe for everyone to be ready for the celebration. And he was aware that poor people would not have the proper clothing. So not wanting anyone to feel inferior, he provided wedding garments, celebration clothes for all guests to wear. But this guy in verse 11, he was a rebel at heart. He disregarded the generosity of the king and he decided, I'll go in there on my own terms. St. Augustine believed that God's terms are trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And that constitutes the proper wedding garment. If you are not humble enough to admit your need for the salvation he offers, if you are not grateful enough to accept it, you cannot come to God's party. The only person who cannot experience God's forgiveness is the one who thinks he has no sin, no need for forgiveness. The only person who cannot be saved is that one who feels no need for a Savior. Jesus does not exclude anyone. But if we reject God's offer of grace and forgiveness and hope, we effectively exclude ourselves. It is by trust in what God has done in Jesus Christ that we first put on the wedding garment. But after that, we are expected to celebrate and trust God with our whole lives. Our whole lives. Looking the part alone might fool some people. And coming to church alone might fool some people or make us others think that we've responded to the call. But living the life proves you to be one of the chosen. Celebrate and trust God with our whole lives. And that shows. God doesn't want us to just wallow in divine grace and just privately say, okay, God, I accept your grace. God expects more from us. There is a ministry that Jesus began of hope and compassion and forgiveness and love of others and caring for those who are down and out. We continue that ministry and God expects us to. God enables us to. Faith is more than just saying or singing a few magic words. It is a life, and it leads to eternal life. And isn't that warning sort of contained in Jesus' words found in Luke, where he says ominously, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. It is not enough to just say, I know the words. Or to come for whatever good the church offers. Or in theological terms, it's not enough to appreciate understand the idea of justification by grace. The key is to acknowledge the authority of God over your entire life. God's invitation comes with an expectation that you grow in that faith and hope and love and live it out to others, and sometimes at great cost. If you've ever had to really struggle with bitterness or forgiveness of someone who has betrayed you, you know sometimes our faith, when we live it out, cost a great deal. John Wesley said in his sermon on this text that there is more to accepting God's invitation than just borrowed clothes. Even more than the righteousness of Christ covering us in our sins, it is also, according to Wesley, active, growing holiness, a sincere spirit within us, accepting God's gift to celebrate with joy the new life that we have and to eagerly give of ourselves to others and prove that love. Prove that love and to inwardly love God with our whole heart. And so some may look the part and claim the covering of Jesus Christ, but on the inside, God knows. And on the outside, we all know whether there is a faith growing and living and vital there. In the New Interpreter's Bible, the author Boring, that's his name, Boring. Some of you think that should be my name, Boring. But in the New Interpreter's Bible, Boring concludes his comments this way. He says, the theological point of this text is that those who find themselves unexpectedly included may not presume upon grace, but are warned of the dire consequences of accepting the invitation and doing nothing except showing up. Calling yourself, in this language of this story, calling yourself a Jew is not enough. Calling yourself a Christian is not enough. Faith, trust God for complete forgiveness, and then trust God with our whole entire lives. Faith celebrates and rejoices in and joins the party of what God began in Jesus Christ. Christianity is not a somber set of rules. It is recognition that God has done all that we need. We need only enter the kingdom he prepared, accept and live in it, rejoice in it, and celebrate God's great grace with others. So where does this warning come in? Why the warning? I think along with the Apostle Paul, the warning is, don't get smug, you Gentile converts. So you think you are standing all on your own, watch out that you do not fall. 1 Corinthians 10. You have come in by grace. You stay in by growing in that grace. And if you get to the point of thinking in any way that it is about you and your priorities rather than God's grace, that is tantamount to taking off the robe and crashing the party in your old clothes. Imagine the presumption of refusing the gracious, altogether unmerited invitation of Christ and then saying to God, I'm coming in on my own terms. Thank you for your son, but I don't need him. Or I don't need him anymore. Imagine trying that and claiming, I was invited, I'm on the list. Imagine trying that on God. God may say, friend, I gave you everything. And you come in here disrespecting the gift of my son as if you had all the holiness you needed all by yourself, all on your own. God gave us the covering, the robe of righteousness, of salvation in Jesus Christ, made a way in Jesus Christ. And please don't miss this. Also the supreme example for the life he expects us to live in Jesus Christ. It is an invitation with some expectations, but it is an invitation with the power of God's Spirit to live out those expectations. If you really get what God has done, you'll party on. You'll party on with God. You will be at peace with God, at peace with others, and you will continue the celebration that has begun in Jesus Christ. You'll grow and become what God has intended. You will, as Paul says, put on Christ. And as Paul says, our goal is to have the mind in us that was in Christ. And I'm not there yet. We have a ways to grow. This is not grim-faced drudgery. This is new life. And Wesley ended his sermon this way. The God of love is willing to save all the souls that he has made, but he will not force them to accept of it. He leaves them in the hands of their own counsel. He saith, behold, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that ye may live. You're all invited. Amen. receive this blessing, this benediction. Be blessed in the full knowledge of the great love of your God. Be blessed in the forgiveness and grace which is yours through the Son. And be blessed with the comfort and the guidance and the power which is yours even in this moment through the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.